Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of the Lenawee County Mission.
You're the God of this city. You're the King of these people. You're the Lord of this nation. You are. You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like our God.
For the next few minutes, you'll hear how God is reaching out to those staying at the mission and how He's reaching out to the greater church community. Now here's Lenawee County Mission's Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year as well. Happy New Year.
So far, our first edition in the year 2014, we've initiated our study for the new year. Brennan Manning's The Ragamuffin Gospel. I like to go around the room and have each of you share based upon some of our preliminary looks at Brennan's work on grace and how you may or may not have encountered that. And probably to set that up, I just want to read a little excerpt from Brennan's book, The Ragamuffin Gospel. And it reads as follows. Our response to the love of Jesus demands trust. Do we rely on a resume or the gospel of grace? How do we cope with failure? Grace tells us that we are accepted just as we are. We may not be the kind of people we want to be. We may be a long way from our goals. We may have more failures than achievements. We may not be wealthy or powerful or spiritual. We may not even be happy, but we are nonetheless accepted by God, held in His hands. Such is His promise to us in Jesus Christ, a promise we can trust. For those who feel their lives are a grave disappointment to God, it requires enormous trust and reckless, raging confidence to accept that the love of Christ knows no shadow of alteration or change. When Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy burdened," He assumed we would grow weary, discouraged, and disheartened along the way. These words are a touching testimony to the genuine humanness of Jesus. He had no romantic notion of the cost of discipleship. He knew that following Him was as unsentimental as duty, as demanding as love. He knew that physical pain, the loss of loved ones, failure, loneliness, rejection, abandonment, and betrayal would sap our spirits. That the day would come when faith would no longer offer any drive, reassurance, or comfort. That prayer would lack any sense of reality or progress. That we would echo the cry of Teresa of Avila, quote, "Lord, if this is the way you treat your friends, no wonder you have so few," unquote. The gospel of grace, gentlemen. And we looked at chapter 1, which speaks about something's gone wrong radically. That perhaps we've encountered throughout our lifetimes efforts on trying to earn this grace of God. So let's take a moment and have you share maybe some of your own experiences on how Brennan's maybe shifting your understanding of grace in light of your own life experiences. Mike, you want to start out?
I have transformed in the sense of knowing that despite the fact that grace is unlimited mercy, it is not an excuse to sin.
And how have you experienced that?
Knowing that, well, the other thing I have to say is knowing that faith is trusting in God, it must also be a daily process in my life.
Such as, I mean, can you expound on that little process? What does that look like?
Continuing to believe that I must trust in God for that faith, as opposed to just believing that faith is believing in God.
Okay, all right.
Or that there is a God.
Yeah, that there's a difference between just believing the existence of God and actually encountering and trusting a living reality. Is that fair?
Mm-hmm.
Listening audience, Mike was nodding his head yes. Matt?
I was actually having trouble a little bit with come up with grace. I want to read something out of the Ragamuffin.
Okay.
But it really stuck with me. It says, "Our culture has made the word grace impossible to understand. We resonate to slogans such as, there's no free lunch, you get what you deserve, you want money, work for it. You want love, earn it. You want mercy, show you deserve it. Do unto others before they do unto you. Watch out for the welfare lines, the shiftless street people, free hot dogs at school, affluent students with federal loans. It's a con game. By all means, give others what they deserve, but not one penny more."
And that resonates with you. Why?
just been having, it's kind of what I've been told most of my life, you know. A lot of these is kind of, this sounds very familiar. You said the competent Christians type of, that remind me of that.
And so how would that maybe prevent our genuine encounter of grace?
Yeah, you're just getting told all the wrong things your whole life, you know. Start believing it.
And I think that's the point he's trying to make in that chapter. Something's radically wrong. That you know, you've got to become pretty pious and PC and all that other kind of stuff. That you've got to get your life in order before God will accept you.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Good. Shane?
I don't know. It says, so he says here in the book, says, God strikes us when we're in great pain and restlessness, or grace strikes us when we're in great pain and restlessness. And I think most of my life, being an addict especially, caused me a lot of emotional pain. I'm walking around kind of like a zombie, you know. By knowing there's God was there, I've always believed in God, but never really feeling, I guess, necessarily his presence at the time. Now that I look back on it, like, I can tell, you know, I can know that God was always there with me, protecting me, even while I was doing all this bad stuff that society tells you is horrible and, you know, you're a bad person for it and everything, but God's right there with you, not necessarily speaking in here, but telling you that even though you are this way and you are doing this, I still love you, I'm still there for you. And from an intellectual perspective, I would say, or pretty much anyone would say, you don't deserve it. And even though you don't deserve it, I'm going to give it to you anyway.
So you think maybe the times that we found ourselves bellied up to the bar or in the crack house or shooting heroin or doing whatever we were doing, that because of our activity, we felt a little disgrace. Our own sense of self-worth prevented us from encountering grace.
Yeah, and then it goes on and says, sometimes at that moment, a wave of light breaks into our darkness. And that's, I think that's where you kind of experience it and start to realize it. Because there's been many times that, I don't know, maybe I should have been dead. God kind of flicks on the light bulb and shows you what you should be doing. You don't always realize it or follow it at the time, but instead of looking back on it, you can definitely tell from that was going on.
Good, thank you. Mark?
I experience God's grace when I look at myself honestly and see that I am not perfect. You know, and there's no way I can become perfect. So therefore, I get brutally honest and realize, you know, that I have doubts, I have hope, and I'm also discouraged. And it's a section here in his book here. I love and I hate. I feel bad and have feeling good about feeling good and guilty about feeling guilty and trusting and suspicious at the same time. I'm honest and still play games. And I can live by grace. Is to me acknowledging my whole life story and light, the light side and the dark. You know, admitting the shadow side. Learn who I am and what God's grace means is I'm not someone who is good, but who experiences goodness of God. You know, I've been clean here and there, and I've gotten to new lows here and there, but God still accepted me and gave me the grace and led me back to Him to focus on Him again. I pray that I never go back to experience another new low, you know?
Yeah.
Because right now I'm focused up. Hopefully, in all I say and do, it'll help me look more like Jesus.
Good.
To those He puts in my life.
Good. You got anything, Dan?
Yeah. I think, you know, for most of my life, for as far back as I can remember, I had this, you know, idea of, you know, I'm born innocent. You know, the longer I lived, the less God loved me, you know, because of my thoughts, my actions, my deeds. I didn't really think about that, you know, when I was a kid, but when I got to be, you know, a young adult, whatever, I felt like the way I was living was causing God to love me less. You know, I didn't understand the whole concept of God's unconditional love. You know, I thought everything has to be earned. You go to work, you work hard, you get more pay than the guy that doesn't work hard. You know, things like that. If you want a nice house, you work harder. If you want to live in a shack, then you... So now, especially just, you know, since coming here and in the last, you know, weeks, trying to come to terms with, all I have to do is accept the fact that God loves me, you know, and the way I choose to live, I think determines my level of happiness or satisfaction with my life. You know, how I behave and live my life determines the quality of life. You know, it doesn't have any influence on how much God does or doesn't love me. You know, we talked earlier today, you did, about, you know, accepting it the way a kid accepts a piece of candy, you know. And I was thinking just a few minutes ago before I had a turn to talk that me and others, we do that sometimes when somebody tries to give us a gift, you know, unexpectedly, whether it's at the holiday or birthday. It's like, oh, no, I can't take that, I can't take that. It's like, you know, just take the gift. You know, if I try to give somebody something and they try to stop me, you know, it's kind of disappointing to me. It's like, grace would be just, you know, accept the gift and be happy. Fortunately, I'm at a point in my life today where I think what God wants for me is to be happy and to live like I'm happy, you know, and to try to make somebody else happy. I think clean living, you know, in a lot of ways makes that happen. You know, happiness is a byproduct of right living. And that's what God wants, is for me to be happy. I've tried to let other people make me happy, whether it's a wife or a friend, or I've tried, you know, chemicals to make me happy, material things, and none of them ever did. And right now, I'm just beginning, I think, to understand what God wants, you know, for me, not from me. And, you know, I've been given grace medically. You know, my disease and my way of living, you know, it almost killed me. But I was given grace. And it comes in many forms. For me, it's, you know, getting to the point where I can just freely accept it and not question it. So that's good. Right now how I perceive grace.
Thank you. Matt?
Well, I wanted to read something real quick from the book from Brennan. It says, any church that will not accept that it consists of sinful men and women and it exists for them and implicitly rejects the gospel of grace. And after I graduated, I went to look for a home church, and I had told Father Dave and Father Tom, you know, my life story, and I thought they would say, well, this church really isn't for you, you know. And well, they said, the church is full of sinners. The church is for sinners. And I was accepted. And I still would have a hard time. I would kind of like judge myself, like, you know, this guy, he's probably better than me. But then the judge that sent me to prison was there. And here I am, labeled a career criminal. And here he is, a judge. And our lives are completely different. And yet we're both receiving the grace of communion as equals. And that's why I said, you know, God doesn't love that judge any more than he loves me. And that's where I kind of encountered grace.
That's very powerful. Very powerful. And that's where we're at, gentlemen. And I really hope as we continue to journey through you know, Brennan's work here on the Ragamuffin Gospel, that one, we see ourselves as the Ragamuffin. All right? That, like it or not, our cheese has fallen off our cracker. And we're still loved as we are. You know, cheeseless crackers. The challenge is, do we really trust that truth? And I think as we grow in our trusting of that truth, we'll find our lives transformed. And that's the good news of the gospel. So thank you for joining us on this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. May God's grace, peace, love, and joy continue to be with you.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of the Lenawee County Mission. We hope you'll join us again next Sunday morning In the meantime, if you'd like to know more about the programs we offer at the Lenawee County Mission, or if you'd like to know about volunteer opportunities we have available, please go to our website at lcmission.org or call us at 265-4019.